entering the business zone of Kello News Talk 1320, 107.9 FM. It's Unique Real Estate on Sioux Falls Radio, the only show of its kind in the area. This is It's Your Business. Now here's your conductor, the maestro, and your host for the show, Bill Zortman.
Good morning. It's Your Business. I'm Bill Zortman, and welcome to show 611 in our original It's Your Business series, Addiction and Recovery, the topic this morning. And it fits holidays we have talked about before that are being truly called amateur nights. Let's see, Halloween, New Year's Eve, and, oh yes, St. Patrick's Day, which is being observed on Saturday, probably Sunday, and Monday. For the past 11 months, we have talked and listened in this show with Tallgrass and Face It Together about the fact that addiction, whether it be alcohol, prescription drugs, or heroin, whatever it might be, hits 10 to 20% of the families in our community. In each of these programs, those that have come on the show have shared their addictions and are looking to help those that are looking for support. Joan Swenson is with Tallgrass Recovery Admissions and Marketing Alliance. Joan, good morning to you.
Good morning.
Julie Schoolmeister, yes, the Schoolmeister, is Executive Director from Face It Together Sioux Falls. Julie, good morning.
Good morning, Bill.
You may be curious why a business radio show, It's Your Business, would be so involved in an addiction project. Good question. But we know that our businesses need help with addiction in their workplaces. And those doing the work in those businesses, they need our help and support as well. We know that calls come in after every show, and there are those in our audience that may know they need help, but they need encouragement, like we'll give in this hour. That's exactly what we will schedule between now and 10 o'clock. And Joan, you brought a guest with us today.
I did. I brought, the second time Jessie has been with us on our show today. She has just recently celebrated 9 months of sobriety, clean and sober time. I got to meet Jessie when she came through Tallgrass roughly 9 months ago. And it's been an honor to watch her grow along her journey in recovery. And it's just been really cool.
Jessie is one of those that's in the radio commercials. Do you want to explain the story that we tell? And then I want Jessie's version, too.
Oh, yeah. As you should have Jessie's version. Jessie is on our Tallgrass radio commercials because, well, first, one thing is she's got a very strong voice for people who suffer from prescription drug addiction herself. That's what her drug of choice was. She's a mom of two small children, a wife. I kind of always dubbed her the all-American girl. She's this blonde and pretty, you know, dance cheerleader kind of girl. And just like with me, you know, it doesn't matter. Addiction doesn't matter who you are. It will take you down regardless. And so it's just really been awesome to get to see her come in from somebody who didn't even think that there was really a problem. You know, she had an inkling that there was a problem, but had no idea, didn't want to be in treatment, didn't want to do any of that thing, to 9 months later and still being able to share her story.
All right, Jessie, you and I talked a little bit about your radio commercial.
Yes.
That is on the air. There'd be a lot of people that say, that's pretty brave to tell that story. Why do you want to tell it?
Well, kind of like Joan said, I was a dancer, a cheerleader, a pageant queen, so you know, I think in my mind, if you're one of those people who are out in the community that much, you shouldn't have a problem and you don't have a problem. But I did, and I hid it very well until I then started stealing drugs from people and got caught. So that's how I ended up in Tallgrass. But being brave about it and being so open about it has really helped a lot of people. Right now, I'm very open about it because I'm proud of myself. And I post it on Facebook a lot, so a lot of people will then contact me and say, well, I never thought that would be you, and how can I help myself, or how can I help other people?
9 month milestone. When do you quit observing milestones, or will it be something you'll do the rest of your life?
I'm going to do it forever.
Why?
I'm so I mean, I'm going to be an addict for the rest of my life, whether I'm using or not using. I'm in recovery. I'm a recovering addict, but I'm going to be an addict the rest of my life. So I celebrate every day. I mean, I'm like, well, I'm not much closer to my next month I'm here for the day. I'm sober for today, and that's all I can do. And hopefully I can celebrate 40 years someday.
We are talking about St. Patrick's Day, and this is a 3-day, maybe a 4-day weekend for those that are going to indulge. One of the things that Joan suggested is what we're going to talk about today is not falling into the green beer. Mm-hmm. Okay? Your addiction was not alcohol.
Correct.
But your concern would be going someplace where there was alcohol that might lead you back into moving backwards rather than forward with where you want to go.
Right. I worry about, even though I don't have an alcohol problem or I don't think I would have an alcohol problem, there's always cross addiction. So if I were to start drinking, that could lead me to either, drinking more because I don't have my drug of choice, or I could fall back and use my drug of choice instead because I want to get that high again.
When we talk about risk and the temptations, and that's one thing that you and I talked about this morning was the temptation, trying to stay away from it because someday being able to talk with your two children about what maybe you did and how to keep them from following that same tree down the road. I'm seeing some whispering over there. I'm not really sure what's going on.
How I'm
going
to do it?
Yeah, how you want to make sure that with your kids,
well,
that you're able to help them down the road.
Right. With them being so young right now, I'm glad that they hopefully don't have to remember me as an addict, but I do bring them out to Tallgrass quite often, and they remember me being there. When we pull into the driveway, they're like, "You're not going to stay again, Mommy, are you?" Which I'm not, but so we tell them that, but they're so comfortable out there too. I'm going to make sure that I do share with them if they want to know. And if they're getting pressured into it, I want them to know that it's okay to say no. They don't have to, you don't have to be cool to use or drink. Like I thought, it was cool in high school, I guess. But I don't want them to hide it. And I want them to be open and honest with me because I'm going to be open and honest right back at them. I'm not going to lie and say I never used, so they shouldn't or anything. So,
not only are you concerned about your kids
right. And
you, but you have been willing to help other people as they admit their addictions and need to talk to somebody about being the dance, the beauty queen, the mom, the all-American girl, the superwoman. Superwoman that we kind of have joked about. How do you help somebody that says, "Can you help me?"
Well, first I kind of give them a little background. I tell them exactly what my story was. I try not to leave anything out because they need to know that I can help them. And we share one thing in common is our addiction, no matter what drug of choice it is. But I for sure share my story, and then I share my experience, strength, and hope with them. And I can hopefully, lead them in the right direction. I can't force them, but I lead them into the right direction so that they can hopefully get help from themselves or other people.
When we talk about Sioux Falls, the number that we hear statistic-wise, 10, 12, 15% maybe have addictions of some kind that they face. Some people say that's way too high. What would you tell them?
I think it's kind of low. I mean,
why?
Just for the fact that, I come from a smaller community, but
So you think that if we said 10, 12, 15%, that would be far closer than 1% or 5% that some people are saying is a standard. And
right.
Julie, Joan, feel free to jump in here, because when we talk those numbers, that's been a series that we have talked about in the past.
Sure.
That's one of the reasons that we do this show. That's one of the reasons that Tallgrass, Face It Together, help people. The lines are open all the time.
Well, and I want to touch base, too, a little bit when we were talking about drug of choice. And Jesse was talking about how she, you know, the drinking can lead to the drug of choice, which leads back to the addiction. And she talked about cross addiction a little bit. The thing is, at least where I come from, we believe they're also intertwined, you know, whether her drug of choice was opiates or prescription pain pills. My drug of choice that took me down happened to be alcohol. I've happened to use her drug of choice in sobriety for medical reasons. And whatever that hit in my brain, I knew exactly what she was talking about, that calm and whatever. It all is so intertwined. There's no way for me, or at least for most of the people I've met, to separate between, oh, this is a glass of green beer, and if I drink enough of it, I'm going to get an effect. You know, and so when we talk about addiction, they're also intertwined. I don't think that we just say drug of choice because that happened to be the one that got her in. Mm-hmm. You know, there is no separation to us. So anyway, I just want to clarify that. You're talking statistics, and we'll get Julie to jump in there because she's always very good at the statistics, but I think it's higher too. I don't think 10%. I mean, the way that the disease runs through families and, you know, it has such a ripple effect, there's 10% seems awful low to me, too. So,
I agree. And I think there's also a lot of variables. It depends, you know, genetic factors. And when we talk about 10%, too, there's some professions where the spike's higher. Broadcasting is one of those professions where the spike is. So I think 10% is a number that we land on when we comfortably talk about people ages 12 and up that suffer from the disease of addiction. The other caveat there would be that a lot of times in the addiction community, there are different levels. You can say someone abuses something. You can say they're dependent. Some people don't consider addiction until you get into that heavy dependence. So, you know, like at Face It Together, one of the things that we do with awareness is we want to get people before they're into that heavy dependence phase of their addiction. If you can help people when they are simply abusing, you know, I'm doing air quotes on the radio, but when they're abusing drugs, that you're more likely to help them because the disease hasn't progressed as far, because it is a chronic disease. It's something that's going to keep progressing. I agree, 10% is probably low. I would also say that, you know, we hang out in communities, yeah, in the recovery community, so we're always around people. And I think a lot of us spot things. And other people were like, oh, I did that. I wonder. You know, I mean, and you can't make judgments about people. But I think when you're more attuned to it and you've lived it, you're just more likely to spot it in people. 10% is the number we use just because that's something you can look at national studies and we're comfortable sharing that.
What we do with the show is encourage people to call that have somebody they know, or if they are that somebody they know that needs help. If we can, let's give contact information for Tallgrass and Face It Together as we get ready to go to break, and then we'll come back and talk a little bit about that amateur night.
If you want to get a hold of Tallgrass, our number is 605-368-5559, or you can reach us on the web at tallgrassrecovery.org.
And you can reach Face It Together Sioux Falls at 605-274-2262 or on the internet at faceitsiouxfalls.org.
We'll talk about St. Patrick's Day being a great holiday for a saint, but unsaintly-like activities that tend to happen with our holidays. That's all a part of It's Your Business, the Addiction Recovery Show. Occur with this. It's kind of the J Show. We got Joan Swenson, Julie Schoolmeester, and Jesse, and Josiah's has an event on Saturday.
It's true. Josiah's Coffee House over there at Reed Street, which is CNA Surety Building on the first floor there. They're hosting their second annual Sober St. Patrick's Day event. So if you're looking for a sober St. Patrick's Day celebration that's family friendly, you can stop on down between 6 and 9 on Saturday. They're going to do some Irish food, Irish stew, and they'll have desserts and whatnot. And if you haven't eaten down there before, the food's amazing. The desserts are really great. Chef Shauna always does an amazing job with the food there. And I think the Irish stew is going to be like $6 and the dessert's like $2. So it's not, you don't have to break the bank. There'll be Irish music. Bring board games if you want. It's just a time where you can hang out with other people that still want to celebrate and enjoy the night, but not have to get all wild and crazy and deal with the nonsense. So
it's also an AA weekend. That looks to me like it was pretty well planned by the calendar.
This weekend coming up, the Roundup is in town. So the Sioux Empire Roundup. There's going to be speakers. It's at the Ramcota. I believe the cost to get in is $20 for the entire weekend. The speakers start, I believe, at 7 o'clock on Friday night. There'll be speakers all day through Saturday. There is babysitting available. And they run through Sunday morning. Speaker ends, well, usually start, takes the stage at 10 a.m. So
I talked with Mark from the Cartwright Brothers, Mark Nelson, who was in the show that we did New Year's Eve. Mm-hmm. Rev was here. And we talked a little bit about St. Patrick's Day, and he says, oh, Rev and I are doing a show that's a part of St. Patrick's, and he started laughing a little bit this morning. He couldn't join us because of another commitment on another Midwest station, but he's like, oh, yeah, that's one of those that people need to watch. It's all right to have fun, but it comes with the fact that St. Patrick's Day is being observed on Saturday, which means some people will observe on Friday, Saturday. They will find probably a place to go to church on Sunday, maybe enjoy whatever, and then you've got Monday as well. So this is a time that people can have setbacks.
Absolutely. Well, as with Whitney holiday, our major holiday that is, at least in our culture, surrounded so much with the drinking, it can be a setback for people who are in recovery, especially what I think would be more of the early recovery. People who don't really have the foundation of what, they're just getting started in their recovery. It could be a setback for them. I think we talked a little bit when we did the New Year's Eve show about important things that people could do if they didn't want to partake in that, but they don't really know, what am I supposed to do with myself? And I totally remember that feeling because my first St. Patrick's Day, I was like 90 days sober. So the thing that to remember is you don't have to drink,
right.
It's not just because in our culture, at least in this area, and maybe not the entire culture, but what we hear about is the drinking. It's not necessary to celebrate St. Patrick's Day with drinking. There's other options. We had Josiah's. We have the Roundup this weekend. Mm-hmm. There's all kinds of other things if you're looking for things to do that you could do besides come downtown and hit Skelly's,
Right. And if you really are celebrating St. Patrick's Day, go to Cathedral.
Right. Exactly.
I mean, seriously. And there's other restaurants. Like when I worked at Minerva's, we would do a St. Patrick's Day menu. So you can go in, you can find the food, you can go to Josiah's, you can do fun things that celebrate the day and celebrate the culture.
Right.
But you don't have to be drowning in the green beer.
Absolutely.
When we refer to New Year's Eve, Halloween, St. Patrick's Day as amateur nights, what do we mean?
It's funny because those of us who were very much in our addiction on those holidays, we call them amateur nights because those were the times when everybody would come out and try to drink as much as the rest of us, and they just couldn't handle it because
the rest
they didn't
of us
do it
who
all
drank
the time.
All the time like that.
Right. So, for us, it was those kind of nights. To me, I just didn't even want to go out. Those were the nights I'd rather be at home because it was too crowded. You couldn't get a drink anyways. I didn't want to deal with the people. And I think maybe now when I really think about it, there was probably a little part of me that was embarrassed that I could drink that much all the time. And seeing what it did to other people, I wondered maybe there's an issue here, but
well, and the police are going to be out in force this weekend. I mean, that's just a given, with everything that's going on, the police are going to be out. And that was the big thing with us is we didn't want to drive. But we would drive, at least I would drive during the regular times when I was at the bar. That would seem to be no conscious effort on my part. I could drive, but I would not drive during the major holidays that were drinking was involved because I didn't want to get picked up. So there's going to be a lot of driving on the road. Obviously be careful if you've been drinking, mm-hmm. take a cab, get a designated driver, things right. like that. I mean that everybody knows these things, but I think once you've had a few beers, then, a lot of times in your brain, you're like, well, I'm still fine. I don't know how many hundreds of times I said that. I'm fine. Right. I'm the best designated driver,
I'm a good drunk driver.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that makes me really feel confident behind the wheel.
Yeah.
Curious about the amateur nights. Do you get a lot of calls to Tallgrass? Do you get a lot of calls to Face It Together saying, I need some help that night within a week? Does that bring out, and I remember listening to Kevin talk a little bit, that is a time of the year mm-hmm. that you do get a lot of people realizing they have a problem. Do you get a lot of calls?
The holiday time for us, especially that sort of Thanksgiving into January. That's probably, I would say, the heaviest call volume of the year for us.
But not for St. Patrick's.
This Everybody's is my first Irish St. Patrick's and, Day you know, there. A little... So I'll have to let you know. I haven't noticed it spike, but maybe it will in the next week.
After the holiday is when it'll spike because people have gotten in trouble with the law. They'll have gotten in trouble with their family, you know, all those sort of things, especially if they have a history of partaking in that, you know, like I did on a daily basis. It's going to be something usually has to snap before people tend to do something different. And so for us, at least coming into a treatment or coming into a recovery program, which involves staying away from your own home for 30 days, that is going to be after the holiday.
All right, so if somebody doesn't know if they are addicted or not and you're coming into this holiday, can they call and just ask questions of Face It?
Oh, absolutely.
How do they do that as we go to break?
You call Face It together at 605-274-2262 or on the internet at faceitfalls.org.
And you can find Tallgrass at 605-368-5559 or on the web at tallgrassrecovery.org.
We're going to bring Jesse back into the picture. We want to take a little break, talk about Fox Business News, all a part of our addiction recovery show on this Tuesday. Welcome back to It's Your Business, as we do on the second and fourth Tuesday, 9 to 10 o'clock. We talk addiction and recovery. This is in advance of St. Patrick's Day, which will be observed officially on Saturday with the parade, the celebrating, the stews, the green beer, all that goes with it. And we are talking about the addiction today with the Jays. Joan Swenson, Tallgrass Recovery Admissions and Marketing Alliance. Julie Schoolmeister, Executive Director of Face It Together Sioux Falls. Jesse has joined us. She has just hit the nine-month milestone on, what do you call that, recovery, successful recovery? What is a milestone and what should it mean to us, Jess? She's looking at me like.
That's the hard questions to me.
That's an easy question. You know, what does 9 months mean? You have not reverted back?
I'm not.
You're recovered 9 months.
Yes, I'm 9 months recovered. I haven't used or thought, well, I haven't used in 9 months. I'm right, clean in 9 months, clean and sober.
So, that little inner mind that you and I talked about when you just said, as you did, the mind plays games with us.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
On any temptation. So how do you win and go with a good guy rather than the mind that's saying one won't hurt?
Because one's not enough and 1,000's not enough. I know that I can't, and I don't want to even revert back to that. I am so happy in my new sober life. Like, I think more clearly. I remember things easier. I want to get out of bed early in the morning and do stuff. I don't want to sit in bed all day. I always want to go to work. I always want to be up with my kids. It's just my life how it's supposed to be now.
Another Jay in the room, John, brought up the fact that we should talk about college kids and the fact that, you know, you were super what?
Superwoman.
Okay.
I guess.
But there are a lot of people out there that think they're Superman or Superwoman that are on college campuses or just young and think that they're going to be around forever. Mm-hmm. You might kind of caution them on that, Julie?
Well, you know, I think it's one of those weekends where it's real easy to get all caught up in the celebration and all caught up in the party. And you can really overdo it. And, you know, we don't want anybody ending up in the emergency room, alcohol poisoning, anything like that. And, you know, too, we talk about, you know, drinking and driving. You know, on New Year's, we had a horrible fatality, an accident with drinking and driving. So, you know, we just want to make sure that people are real cautious, you know, be aware, look out for each other. You know, as girls especially, we were always real big on, you know, just look out for each other. Make sure that you have a designated driver. Just, you know, I know people are going to overindulge, but try to be smart on some level. I know there were times when I would have told myself I'm going to be smart, but nobody, I wouldn't have listened to anybody. But maybe for those of you who aren't suffering from addiction, but you do go out once in a while, really tie one on and get crazy, just look out for each other and take care of each other this weekend.
Jesse, at what point did you know that you needed help? that you needed to turn the page and change?
Pretty much each time I used, I knew in the back of my head I needed help, but I would never come out and admit it. However, I did take some pills from an aunt of mine, and my parents caught on to that, thankfully, the next day. And so my parents and my husband sat me down and had a quick little intervention, and then called a few places, and thankfully Tallgrass could get me in, I think, that same day. Yeah.
And you were mentioning that Joan was the one that you saw when you went to Tallgrass, and it wasn't too long, much longer after that, you knew you needed help 2 or 3 days into your stay at Tallgrass.
Yep. Well, I remember talking on the phone with Joan before I went. She was asking me the questions, and I was quite hesitant and kind of was trying to work my way out of it. But I think she obviously knew better that I needed to be there, so she kept drilling me even harder. And then once I got there, you know, I had never physically left my kids ever before. At that time, there were 4 and 1. So I was all worried about leaving them for 30 days. And Joan was like, well, I'm a mom too. You need to put your sobriety first so that you can be a good mom and be there for your children. So I offered to stay the 16 days. And then I wanted to be out for the 4th of July. And so I said, okay, well, I'll stay till July 3rd. But after about day 3 or 4, after starting in groups and starting in talking to people, I knew I had a problem, and I finally admitted I had an addiction and I needed help. And then by the time it was time to go, I didn't want to leave Tallgrass.
Joan, how typical is Jesse's story?
Oh, I'd say pretty typical. I just think back of when I ended up at Tallgrass, you know, and I would have been what you would have called a chronic maintenance drinker. And I still, even as much as I drank and as much as my life had turned upside down because of my drinking, I was still where Jesse was. Like, I don't really know that I need to go into a 30-day inpatient treatment. And there was no other way I was going to get sober, so I don't know. But there's a part of my brain that had always told me, you know, protect this, you know. And you deny that there's even a problem. Everybody around you can see the problem. They may not know that it's because of the drinking. I mean, there was, you know, I'm anxious, I'm depressed, I've got all this stuff going on. But there is a part of you deep inside that says, there is not a problem, don't look under there, you know. And I think it takes somebody willing to tell you the truth more than once. Because there was people who told me the truth about what was going on that I did not want to hear. But it wasn't until, like Jesse talked about, how, you know, they had an intervention with her. And whatever point that was for her, that she became just willing enough to take the next step, that had happened with me. And that happens with every person I talk to on the phone. There is something that has happened, whether it's internal or external, that changes just enough for them to say, okay, I'm willing to look at it, you know, and then gets them in the door.
Julie, you have to get out of here in about 3 minutes, and I promised that I would let you talk about your wealthy campaign. Tell us what that is.
Well, you know, everybody knows about selfies, right? Bill, I'm sure you take tons of selfies on your cell phone.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Snapping selfies. Well, you know, all the kids are doing it, Bill. It's a thing, you know, all of our phones now, we can take pictures of ourselves and look at the camera. So there's Snapchat and Instagram and all these different things people do. And they take selfies. And Elizabeth Fenrick, who you know, she had mentioned that there was a campaign on the Today Show where they were talking about love your selfie. And they were having people take pictures of themselves doing things they love and hashtag that. So we decided to do a little Face It Together twist on the selfie. And we're calling it a wealthie. So we want people to take pictures of themselves doing things that keep them well. So that, you know, I mean, we've had pictures of anything from, you know, these are the healthy meals I make. This is me at yoga class. Here I am on the treadmill. We just took a picture of the three of us. You know, here we are talking about addiction to keep us well. You know, anything that you do that keeps you balanced. And then hashtag it FITWELFIE, fit wealthie. And then what we're going to do is, throughout the month of March, we'll collect all these. And then everybody who submits a wealthie, we will throw their name in the hat. And somebody's going to win a fitness package that'll include a yoga lesson, some fun stuff. So, yeah.
Excellent.
Share what keeps you well. Let's inspire each other.
Not a bad thought. And yeah. Before we let you get out of here, we're just talking about how typical Jesse's case is. Would you like to add to that?
No, I think they're speaking the truth there. They're preaching to the choir. It's so true. We find people a lot of times when they're calling us, there's some of that pre-contemplation stuff. But when someone's really, really willing, ready and willing to change, you kind of hit that breaking point where you realize life, something's got to give. And when people want to take ownership of their life back and learn to manage their life again, that's when they're ready. And want you to know we're always here to help you with that whenever you're ready.
All right. For people that need help, let's again give the contact information, please.
Face It Together Sioux Falls, 605-274-2262 or on the internet at faceitsiouxfalls.org.
And Tallgrass is 605-368-5559 or on the web at tallgrassrecovery.org.
Now, with Julie leaving, we're going to be talking about her while she's on the road going to another appointment.
Absolutely.
I'd be disappointed if you weren't.
This is the Addiction Recovery Show, all around another amateur night, St. Patrick's Day coming up. Have some fun, but remember, keep it in the spirit of what you need to do to be healthy for you. We'll talk more about that on our show this morning on this Tuesday. It's Your Business. We've been talking with Jessie this morning. She's hit her 9-month milestone. She has recovered, kept clean, kids in college. When we start talking about the fact that they think they're invincible, that they're going to live forever, should we be concerned about that age group, or should we just be concerned with people like John and Bill that might be a little over the teenage?
Coming from a huge college town, definitely have to worry about the college kids for sure. I mean, I was in college there at one point too, so... You're young and you don't want to pay the money for beer or alcohol, so you try and find those free kegs and you drink all the free beer you want. So you for sure need to worry about those younger kids as well.
How do you know when to stop if it's free beer?
I would say, well, it depends. And we're not talking, not everybody who drinks a lot of free beer is going to end up with addiction. I mean, that should just be said. We said basically.
But they might have addiction already.
Well, they absolutely may. And how do you know when is enough is enough? Well, if you do suffer from addiction, you don't. I mean, that's just a fact. You talked about one beer is too many and 1,000 is not enough for us. I mean, that's just how it is. There's something in our brain that clicks on that says, I want more. No, not all college kids are like that. You know, but the vast majority, I would say, have at least binge drank. I mean, that's just a statistic that they talk about all the time. They binge drink. The thing that is important to remember is don't drive, okay? And watch it. Julie was saying, watch out for each other. You know, I mean, that's important. But there's more to addiction than just drinking a bunch of free keg beer. I mean, that's just the way it is. There's something in our brain that is wired differently. You know, you have a disease. And I think other people, at least in my understanding and what I've seen, is other people generally will notice it a lot of times before they will. So, you know, if you have somebody in your family that possibly suffers, if you have, people that you've had grandparents or family members that have also had it, there's generally a pretty good chance that you may also have that, you know, so that's just, you just need to be aware. And I think we're doing a really good job in our community of talking about it. I don't know what they do from your college town to talk about it, but I know that they do talk about it. I mean, it's just something that they talk about all the time, you know, but a lot of it is sometimes people need to experience it before they're willing to do something different.
You mentioned in the show we did for New Year's Eve, the drink doesn't necessarily have to have alcohol in it. And I'm trying to think of a couple of other things that that you mentioned, but they were pretty important tips. You had 9 or 10 tips that we talked about. If you're in that situation and you want to come off as the cool super mom, super dad.
I think it's important. What I was told in my early recovery, and I still hold true with this today, is that when I would go somewhere where people were drinking, there was a reason for me to be there. I needed to see somebody at this party or whatever I was invited. Go early, drive yourself. If you don't want to drink, but have something in your hand. You know, that was the one thing that somebody took me and said, I was very panicky at the first time I had to be in an art show where I couldn't drink because I'm in sobriety now. And they said to me, let's go get you a drink for your hand. And here came a Diet Coke that I could walk around this party with, this art show with, and then I didn't
feel. Or a Mountain Dew.
Yeah, well, it was Diet Coke at the time, but yeah, so that I didn't feel like I was different then. And I'm going to tell you, nobody knew the difference. Nobody cared that I wasn't drinking. Now, I think if you're in college, there might be a little more push. Hey, have a beer, or whatever. There's nothing wrong with just saying, no, thank you. You know, that took me a long time in recovery to just say, no, thanks. I'm not drinking. I don't have to explain. You don't owe anybody an explanation to why you're not drinking. You just say, no, thank you. You know, but I would say, don't stay late.
You mentioned earlier that when you arrive at Tallgrass, your kids say, Mommy, please don't stay this time, okay? And it has to hit you a little bit. But the question I have, Joan, is the fact that she has been able to help others.
Absolutely.
How do you plug her in where she just visits occasionally to some of those that might be Jesse's coming along the trail that she can help? Well, how do you get them together?
The one thing that is great about Tallgrass is, and I tell all of them when they leave, you are always welcome to come back. There is no other place like this. We want our alumni to come back. We want them to come back and share their experience, strength, and hope with the guests that are there, because it is important for the people who are there to know that at 9 months, this is still possible, okay? Because you see, that is the big thing of what we do, is we plug people into other people with the recovery community. Because so when you leave Tallgrass, okay, that's where the real work begins. It's easy to stay clean and sober in treatment. You know, you go to bed at a certain time. We make sure you don't have any meds that you can't have. You know, it's okay. The thing is that it's important for people to know that when you leave, that's where the real work begins. And you need people like me, and you need people like Jesse to
Absolutely.
Help you on the way. You know, because if you don't connect with somebody like me, maybe you're going to connect with somebody like Jesse. You know, so the more stories that you hear and the more human connection that you're able to make, the better your chances are of staying sober.
Jesse, we appreciate you being brave, being with us. We have talked women today, but that doesn't mean that it's just women that are in the addiction side trying to recover. What would you tell us about men? Are they more apt on a amateur night to be out drinking than the gals, or in whatever addiction they might have?
Well, it's statistically men are, I think, have a greater number, I believe, is what I've been, what I've learned is that there's a higher number of men who are alcoholic or addict than women. And I'm not exactly sure why that is. A lot of times they think, you know, it could be because women play more of a traditional role. People don't really talk about it. We get to talk more about other mental health issues, but it doesn't make any difference. Addiction is addiction. If a disease that it gets men, it gets women, rich, old, young, it makes no difference at all. So, yes, I mean, I would say that equal numbers anymore, you know, it's equal opportunity disease and equal opportunity chance for people to get into recovery.
So you understand that we do kind of go back and follow up on past shows. Last month we had Gloria Damgaard, Executive Director of the South Dakota Board of Nursing, as our guest, and we talked about nursing and temptations they face with pre-filled syringes and medications in settings that might be hospitals, might be nursing homes. Only a handful of nurses have lost their licenses in the last few years, far less than the 1% that would be suggested, with the average on addiction being that 10-12%. The concern we discussed then was perhaps requiring hospitals to report a nurse suspected of abusing drugs. And that goes with St. Patrick's Day. If there is somebody out there that you think needs the help, be a real friend.
Yep. Tell them the truth.
How do they reach our friends at Tallgrass?
They can reach us.
To get some help.
If they need some help, or if they have one of their loved ones, if there's somebody that they love that has struggling with addiction, they can reach us at 605-368-5559. There's someone to answer the phone 24 hours a day. If you want to little more information, Tallgrass is on the web at tallgrassrecovery.org.
Jesse, will you come back when you hit your year anniversary?
Of course.
Thank you for your bravery today. Thanks for what you're doing and will continue to do, and understand that addiction is not something to play with. You have to deal with it every day, and you are doing that. You're a bright young lady. Super what?
Superwoman.
that you are. Please continue to be a superwoman.
Thank you.
When we come back, we're going to talk about one other phase of addiction that deals with the military. Russ will be joining us, and we'll talk about employment to deployment, all a part to It's Your Business, as we like to do when we do the Addiction Recovery Show. We like to plug into our expert executive recruiter that works with the military. He works very hard with what he does, not only finding him jobs, but talking about some of the issues they face coming back from their service. Russ, good morning.
Good morning. How are you doing, Bill?
Doing well. When you have a young lady that comes in that's talking about helping, she was addicted. Now she's been clean for 9 months, and you know that she's doing that day by day. It also tells us, too, that some of those that have been in the military have faced many of the same problems and maybe could use some help.
Oh, yeah. You know, very true. And what I think happens is when veterans are trying to make that transition back, it's a very, very trying time. And unfortunately, for some, it can lead to, you know, alcohol and drug abuse, that type of thing, or just sheer overall depression, really. And one of the things we do at Client Staffing Solutions and Directional Motivation is a lot of counseling and helping them through that time and giving them direction and a plan to help them through that.
You know, as you do that, and you do land a lot of jobs for these military, and we've had a chance to visit with a couple of them on the air, and I think you have another one scheduled this week.
Yes, we're still working on that one, but I think it's going to come together. So, yes, on Friday morning we should be talking with him.
And what we should remember, too, is that if they've been in the service, they have faced some things that they wouldn't face in the everyday life, even more of a risk when they are away and they're facing something that is certainly abnormal to them.
Mm-hmm. You know, making that transition, you know, they're coming from a world that has been very, very secure in terms of military and now facing all the issues in terms of financial and reintegration back into a family unit and all those different things, and then facing the struggle of trying to figure out who they are, where they fit in terms of the employment world, too. A lot of different issues can pop out of that. And so I encourage veterans to just reach out to us, and we can talk about that. You know, my book, Deployment to Employment, is a guide that helps them through that process as well.
Russ, as we talk about this, people are saying, okay, how do I get into this? What's it cost me? Do I have to be just a part of the military that's gotten out, or you as an executive recruiter working with Fortune 500 and others? What do they do?
Well, you know, they can just reach out and give me a call, because we like to make a difference in lives. Doesn't make any difference whether it's military veterans or civilian sector individuals. They can give us a ring, and we can sit down and talk about whatever it is they're facing and help them through that. And we always say we're not psychologists or anything like that, but we've certainly been around the employment world for over 20 years and working through that and help. Through that time, have helped a lot of people through different issues that they've faced.
From the people that you have had on the air, we've heard them basically say that you understood them, that you stood up for them, and that they went from a culture that they were told what to do every waking minute of their deployment, and that to get out and be on their own and to look for a job was a far different world.
For some, it's really overwhelming. All of a sudden, you go from a very restricted life to one that has all types of options and freedom, so to speak, and coming to grips with, okay, what are the steps that I need to take, not only just today, but to keep a process together that's going to work for them. And that's what we do, is help them through that.
Russ Hovendick, again, how they reach you?
My phone number is 605-362-8176, extension 101. And then they can also go to our website. We actually have two websites. One's the recruiting site, which is clientstaffingsolutions.com, and then also directionalmotivation.com, which is a free resource and career help site.
We're happy to partner with Russ and happy to have him a part of the show, whether it be addiction recovery or just our regular shows on It's Your Business. It's an important point of all of our business to take care of our servicemen. Russ, thanks for joining us today.
Yeah, thank you, Bill.
When we come back, we'll talk taxes. My time's up. Thank you for yours.